This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. Just say the name of the person you want to call, and Sync dials the number, which means you can keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
President Obama marks the end of U.S. combat operations in Iraq. Chile's trapped miners have a spiritual leader. Teachers are facing new measurements of success, and early morning newscasts happen well before dawn. I'm Jane Bornemeyer. We'll look at these stories and more on the front page of Wednesday's New York Times.
Tonight, I am announcing that the American combat mission in Iraq has ended.
In our top story, President Obama addressed the nation from the Oval Office on Tuesday to mark the official end of combat operations in Iraq. He said the United States had met its obligations to the Iraqis, but that the Iraqi people now have responsibility for their own security.
Iraq has the opportunity to embrace a new destiny.
The president reminded the nation that he was delivering on a campaign promise. More than 100,000 troops and millions of pieces of equipment have been removed from Iraq, the president said. Turning to domestic priorities, Mr. Obama said the most urgent task now was to heal America's economy and put Americans back to work. From Kabul, Afghanistan, Dexter Filkins reports that the sudden intervention by the Afghan government to shore up a deeply troubled bank sent shockwaves through the capital on Tuesday. The action prompted fears among American and Afghan officials about the integrity of the country's financial system. Two top executives of Kabul Bank abruptly left their jobs earlier this week at the demand of officials of the Central Bank of Afghanistan. Their departure followed the discovery that Kabul Bank's loss might exceed $300 million, a number that far exceeds the bank's assets. Afghan and American officials expressed alarm not only at Kabul Bank's financial condition, but also at the prospect of a collapse of confidence in Afghanistan's fragile financial system. The immediate concern was that news of financial irregularities, which were already spreading through the capital, would prompt a run on the bank itself, and that the panic might spread to other financial institutions. Mario Gomez has become a kind of spiritual leader of the 33 miners trapped nearly half a mile underground in San Jose Mine, Chile. And he has the experience to do it. When he was still in his 30s, he survived as a stowaway on a ship for 11 days. He lived below deck on little more than bits of chocolate and drops of water collected in a shoe. Now at 62 years old, Mr. Gomez is the oldest of the 33 trapped miners and has become the spiritual guide to his men. He's organized a small subterranean chapel and is serving as unofficial aid to the psychologists working on the surface to cope with the miners' sadness and fear. Miners are a hardened breed. Mr. Gomez and the two other men leading the group below are no exception. They come from traditional mining families and together have more than 90 years of experience working underground. Now they are trying to help themselves and the others endure what could be a four-month stay in the belly of the earth. I'll be back with more of the front page of Wednesday's New York Times after this message.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. Sync connects to most Bluetooth-enabled phones and then listens to the sound of your voice. So just say the name of the person you want to call, and Sync dials their number. With Sync, you'll never miss a call, and you can keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
From Wisconsin, Jeff Zeleny reports that as the final two-month drive to Election Day opens this week, Republicans have a better opportunity to win control of the Senate than they once imagined. Their chances of reaching a majority in the House still remain greater. But as the field of competitive races has expanded in the Senate, Republicans no longer have to win every close contest to capture the 51 seats they would need to take control. Wisconsin is more divided politically than it is often perceived, given its well-known progressive streak. But longtime Democratic Senator Russ Feingold is seen as vulnerable, and that vulnerability underscores how the lackluster economy and the year's rapidly changing political landscape have left his party's grip on power tenuous. His reputation as a liberal, who often exhibits an independent streak, presents a test for whether the left can stir enough energy to overcome an edge in Republican enthusiasm. School districts are using a new method to evaluate teachers. It's called value-added modeling, and of course, it's controversial. The system calculates the value teachers add to their students' achievement based on changes in test scores from year to year and how the students perform compared to others in their grade. People who analyze the data can produce a list ranking teachers from best to worst. The data is often used to help educators improve their classroom teaching, but it has also been a factor in deciding who receives bonuses and how much, and even who gets fired. Use of value added is exploding nationwide. Hundreds of school systems, including New York, Washington, and Chicago, are already using it. Many more are expected to join them, partly because this year the Obama administration has prodded states and districts to do so. And finally, last year, the big battle in television was fought over late night. This year, the battleground is shaping up to be the early morning, very early. The television business is learning what the pre-dawn joggers and buyers at the fish market already know, that starting the day earlier can be a competitive advantage. Stations in New York, Washington, and Boston announced 4:30 a.m. newscasts last week. They join a march backwards that started in earnest a few years ago in cities like L.A. and Detroit. And those newscasts are not even the earliest. One station in New York, WPIX, will move up its start time to 4 a.m. starting next month. In catering to early risers, stations are reacting to the behavior patterns that are evident in the Nielsen ratings. Simply put, Americans are either staying awake later or waking up earlier. And either way, they are keeping the television on. And that's a preview of the front page of Wednesday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.